A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, doing our breakdown of the NFL here at the quarter pole. Again, I think, Kyle, to me, the biggest story has been the offenses this year. And I said at the beginning of the year, if I've got a little bit of egg on my face, and I know that our dignitary Nate Noy has been throwing this back at me, how much I was saying there would be continuity from last year. And there has been in some ways, and particularly if we look at the defending world champions, the way they finished the year and started this year. But it's a thing where, because of the lockout, it does seem like the offenses have been way ahead of the defenses. That's afforded a guy like Cam Newton the kind of historic start that he's had. And that's been the biggest story that I've seen. What have you seen in the early going that really jumps out at you the most, like on a macro level?
Well, Ricky, first of all, thanks for having me again, okay, as always. And the thing that surprised me the most, or not surprised me, but that jumps out at me, is all these big comebacks in the second half. Mm-hmm. It almost just seems like a team, you know, last week was a perfect example. You saw Dallas jump out to the big lead on Detroit.
Yeah.
Philadelphia was up 23-3 on San Francisco. And it's like these teams just go into a coma, you know, and some of these teams play so much better from behind. They play looser. They come back. I mean, I think there's already been a record number of double-digit comebacks. I think there's been like 15 through 4 weeks of teams that at one point trailed in a game by 10 points and came back. And we saw Buffalo do it 2 weeks in
Minnesota
a row.
Minnesota has furnished 99%
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, Minnesota, yeah. They've obviously done their part, you know, to help some of these teams out. But Detroit's had two huge comebacks. Buffalo had the two huge comebacks. I mean, it's unbelievable the number of huge comebacks we've seen in the second half already. And it does tie into the offense. I mean, I think, you know, from a betting perspective, those who are interested in this kind of thing, there's like six games coming up here in week five where the total's 50 or higher. That's a very high, I mean, you're familiar with that, Ricky. I mean, when you have a total of 50, that's high. That's a high number.
Yeah. Vegas is adjusting, clearly. Vegas is catching up, however belatedly, to what's been going on here. But you just look at this, and you sometimes you wonder. I think it's been a little bit of a saying over a period of time that sometimes the offenses will come along ahead of the defenses if you're learning new systems or anything like that. And there are a lot of teams learning new systems, but it's been truly amazing to me. Somebody like Cam Newton, who's coming into the league cold. There have been quarterbacks coming into new systems like Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah,
in some very unlikely corners, we are seeing explosiveness thus far.
Yeah, Matt Hasselbeck, that's a shocker to me because, you know, I was with you. Continuity, I thought, was going to rule the day. You know, I brought up when I was on last time the old 50% playoff rule, which suggests that the turnover from year to year among playoff teams is roughly 50%. Mm-hmm. You know, there's never been fewer than four return entrants, never been more than eight.
Right.
And I thought this year would clearly be on the high side, closer to the eight.
Right.
And I still believe that, but I don't know. It's going to be seven or eight. You know, it's not, it's going to be, there have been some surprises. So Tennessee, to your point with Hasselbeck, new system, lockout, that shocked me. Now, I still don't buy the Titans.
Right.
I'm sure we'll get to that later on. I don't necessarily buy them. I think they're more of a product of a weak schedule. You know, so there's been other teams like that, too. We shall wait and see. There isn't one of these surprise teams that I'm like, oh, wow, you know, I think this, except with the exception of the Lions, you were right on, I will give you, you know,
Come join me down at the Beachland Ballroom.
Yes, I was trying to be maybe too contrarian for my own good. You know, they certainly, I think, are one of the biggest stories. I mean, even when you talk, you know, that's obviously a micro story, but league-wide, they're the biggest surprise. To me, if I was going to revise who I thought would make the playoffs before the year, Detroit would certainly be a team that, you know, I'm pretty confident will be in the postseason.
Exactly, yeah, and it's a good time to start to switch to the micro level here. Last note I have on Matt Hasselbeck, who would have imagined thus far a level of excellence out of him commensurate with the level of political analysis from his sister-in-law? I wouldn't have thought that to be the case.
I thought he was done. I really did. I mean, he kind of stunk for
He never
know,
looked that
years.
Good for Coach Him Up Pete, did he?
Coach Him Up Pete, yeah. He's got some coaching up to do, doesn't he?
He does indeed. He does indeed. And it just, it does pain me that that rat bastard Mike Munchak, who fired a dying man, is getting over at 3-1 at this point. What a man without a soul that guy is.
Yeah, and, you know, he's gotten easy to, who knows, it could be much more, because when I look at that division, you know, Houston, you feel terrible for them, this was supposed to be their year with the Peyton Manning injury.
Yeah.
And now Andre Johnson gets hurt.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's obviously an afterthought. They stink. You know, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, Tennessee could conceivably win that. I mean, they could be your hipster team for 2011.
They could be. They could be. Well, starting to look at the micro level here, as you said, you mentioned Detroit for being a pretty big story. Certainly Detroit and Green Bay and the NFC North. You've got the Packers coming in, who they were my pick to repeat as Super Bowl champions. I just looked at it and said, hey, I don't understand why everybody's overlooking them and saying that they're behind Philly and Atlanta in the pecking order. How do you win the Super Bowl with 15 guys on IR, many key contributors? These guys are coming back. Theoretically, they should be better. I don't know if you could say that defensively they've been better, but it hasn't really mattered. They've been just been such an overwhelming force offensively. And they've really just been amazing in that division. And it's a tribute to how great they are that you and I are still discussing Detroit as being a wild card team at this point, because it seems like a stretch to think that anybody could catch Green Bay. But, yeah, Detroit, and as you and I said off air, if you can have Matt Stafford stay upright, and that's been the rap on him throughout his career. If that happens, yeah, you should pencil him in for a playoff spot right now. Chicago's the fraud that I thought they were, even with their record now. I mean, they're not going to be getting over as fraudulently as they were last year or as often. Minnesota's another story there. They just struck me as being kind of a team in turmoil, a team in transition, and I'm just wondering how long before old Donnie McNabb's toting a clipboard for good.
Where should I start from that? You hit them all, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Let's start at the top, because right, I was with you. I picked Green Bay to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because on paper, they were better than the team that won it all last year. I mean,
right.
You brought up all the players, you know, all the starts lost to injury. They had the most in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 15 players on IR, whatever it was. And they've every bit looked the part so far. I mean,
sure.
That offense is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, is this Brett?
Yeah.
What a piece of trash this guy is to come out like he did. Just yesterday, you know, as we're doing this podcast, it was yesterday he came out and created, oh, I'm so surprised they haven't won it sooner. Well, I mean, to me, your obvious, Ted Thompson knew he was going to take a step back to maybe take two or three steps forward.
Sure.
When he made the switch. And if you remember, and I brought this up when we analyzed Green Bay before the season, in that 6-10 season, Rodgers' first year starter, they had a record number of close losses. Now, that comes with a first-year starter.
Right.
But they were by no means a bad team.
Right.
They had, again, record number of close loss divided by 6 points or less.
Yeah.
Record number. The year next year, a lot of people picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I was included in that. And they had the crazy game against Arizona, that 51-45 game.
Yeah.
You know, and, again, that was kind of a fluky loss, and then they made the big jump last year. But to me, yeah, they are – I could not see anyone making a case that they are not the best team in football right now.
Yeah, I think they clearly have to be regarded as such. And I thought I'd heard this about Rodgers. Isn't he the first guy in the history of the league to go his first three seasons with 4,000-plus yards?
He would have been. He was the only one. He was the first one to do it, too.
Two.
He would have last year.
Okay.
But he got injured for the two games.
I got you.
Had he played and just had any sort of his normal production,
all right,
he clearly would have done it. I mean, this is the best player. To me, people still think it's Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I won't laugh you off the stage with that opinion, because I still have a great deal of respect for Tom Brady.
Brady's doing it with a shade less. I think we
that
have
is
to say
true.
That.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this offense, we talked about when they spread you out,
mm-hmm,
and when they run the no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
I mean, they have so many weapons. He gets the ball out so quick. If you remember, Rodgers' big Achilles heel early on in his
mm-hmm
career was he got sacked. I mean, that offensive line wasn't great. He got sacked a lot.
Right.
Like we see, you know, with your Vicks and your Cutlers now, some
mm-hmm
of the issues that are plaguing those teams. He gets the ball so quick. I mean, they're unstoppable. Interesting, though, this week they play Atlanta on Sunday night. That's a huge revenge game for the Falcons for last year's playoffs. Before the year started, I said this was a 13 or 14 win team, Green Bay. This was one of the games I did mark down as a potential loss for them, so keep an eye. If they win this game, whoa, look out.
Yeah, yeah. My perfect Dolphins of 72 may be starting to sweat a little bit here.
Well, and what's interesting, though, is if you were to ask me going into Week 5, which team are you more confident that will be 5-0
mm-hmm after
this week, it's Detroit. No way they lose on Monday night at home.
No.
I mean, this is their first Monday night game in a decade.
Right.
No way they're losing at home. So what you said is a fraudulent Chicago team. They surprised me when they beat Atlanta 30-3
mm-hmm
in week one. But, you know, we've seen the bad of Chicago. To me, this is probably a 7 or 8 win team.
Yeah.
You know, they're a little with Detroit clearly being better than I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I view Detroit as kind of an 11-win team, probably your top wild card in the NFC. I'm going to have to downgrade Chicago a little bit from what I thought. That's probably a 7 or 8 win team. Even Minnesota, a team that I thought could not possibly be worse than last year's disaster. Somehow, is I would cut Donovan McNabb. Doesn't he have? Isn't he under a 1-year contract?
I think he is.
I mean, he stinks.
Yeah, I mean, it should be time. It should be time to see Christian Ponder, anyways, with their record being what it is. And
they can't be any worse. You know, I will say this: they did have a lead on San Diego in week one. They did have a 20-point lead against Tampa Bay at home, a 20-point lead at home against Detroit, and they kind of came out and predictably laid the egg last week against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're as bad as some people are making them out to be, but they are bad. And at 0-4, that's a tough hill to climb, especially because this is a tough division with, you know, the only two unbeaten teams. So, not yet for Ponder, but pretty soon.
Yeah, it's going to be getting to that point. And, yeah, Minnesota's just a team in transition. The thing that scared me, too, the offense. And Minnesota, we'll talk about this when we get to the Browns a little bit later on. Receiving core of Minnesota. See, I'm a guy that sees Percy Harvin still as being fraudulent, as being a gadget guy. He's Devin Hester. He's Josh Cribbs. Maybe he's a little better than them.
Yeah,
but
he's
just
a little better.
A little better, but I mean, I just...
Because he's not the return man, either of those guys are.
I understand that, but I mean, I don't see him as a pure receiver. And he's basically the best they got with Sidney Rice not being there anymore. And then a bunch of other guys who are, you know, Devin Mogadishu, who, you know, last year's big hipster pick at wide receiver, who I got to admit I bought into on one of my teams last year. Yes, of course I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did.
Well, you talk about Minnesota's – what's about their defense? When they went to the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, their defense was outstanding.
It was.
And it's non-existent now. I mean – you know, obviously, I specifically remember the Detroit game. I watched more of that game than I did the Tampa Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Adrian Peterson in the second half? Certainly, I think a lot of the blame lies at the feet of that decision by head coach Leslie Frazier. But his defense is not what it once was. And, you know, it's bad. I mean, I said 7 wins before the year because the law of averages says, hey, you fall from 12 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
History says you're going to increase your win total the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If they could go 7-6, or pardon me, if they would have to go 7-5 to finish, you know, 7-9. So,
Yeah,
I mean, I think Ponder's going to happen sooner than we expected because you knew it was going to happen before. Anytime you have a rookie quarterback and the team's not in playoff contention, I mean, you know, typical Muni Lot fan, oh, put the rookie in, you know.
Yeah. You and I wouldn't know anything about that being from Cleveland, would we? No.
No, I don't attend those things. I like to watch the games indoors.
Yeah, with civilized people.
Yeah, why would I want to go somewhere 6 in the morning and stay in the cold?
Yeah. As much as they romanticize it, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I don't get the allure of that myself.
I don't either. I'm sorry. I'm a new age man. I think we're part of a whole new generation. All these people tailgate I see on Facebook, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is one area where left and right can come together. Cold weather tailgating is highly overrated.
Yeah, so Owner Hank Williams could have an analogy for you and I sitting at the table here.
As they said on Deadspin, all my howdy friends are here at Crystal Lock. One of the finest headlines ever. If I may channel the little guy a little bit with his use of the word finest. But all right, also in the NFC here, let's take a look. All right, I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on the West. It's as bad as we thought it was going to be. Maybe not evenly distributed in the piles of bad that we thought it was going to be. Seattle, don't have to say a whole lot there. We knew they were going to suck, and they haven't let us down.
I'll be surprised. This is embarrassing. As bad as they've been, I think they've outperformed, because I only picked them for 2 wins.
Okay.
I had them preseason as the worst team.
Okay.
And having already won 1, you know, they're going to have to be pretty bad the rest of the way for that prediction to be true.
I'm just looking forward to later in the season when Pete Carroll is openly sporting a suck for luck T-shirt on the sidelines. I can't wait to see that.
You know, we could talk about that with some other because it's kind of interesting with Luck. There's only a couple of the bad teams where I think he can go. Seattle's certainly a landing spot for him.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, they're bad. I mean, in a bad division, they're going to be the worst team. They're not going to have a lot of wins. They stink. They travel worse than any team in the league. So.
Yeah,
they stink.
Yeah. Not too much to have to say about them. Just barely
they
above them.
They did backdoor Atlanta, by the way.
They did.
I didn't like at
all. Yeah, much to the pain of myself also. And another 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium going down the drain for week 4. But what are you going to do? Well, just barely above them, at least in the standings as of right now. Not a bad team, but not really looking that great yet. Arizona. Interestingly enough, we were talking about this before. Offenses, new systems, Kevin Cobb going to Arizona. once again, as has been the case with Newton and with Hasselbeck, certainly in my opinion, not the learning curve that I thought there would have been. It's hard to hang too much of it on him. Defensively, they've really had a lot of issues.
Yeah, they should beat the Giants last week.
Yeah.
They got screwed. You screwed Triple H, Earl. You screwed. You know, they got hosed by the Giants, and the Cardinals were my pick to win this division. Mm-hmm. In interest of fools, I'm not giving up on that pick yet. It, you know, they've been competitive. I mean, they only lost to Washington by two.
Right.
They've been a competitive team. The difference between Cobb and Newton and Hasselbeck, it's interesting to make a comparison. I just don't think, I think out of those three, Cobb's clearly the worst. I don't know if I buy
worse
him
than,
yet.
Worse than Hasselbeck? Even short term?
Short term, yeah. Long term, obviously, you would probably rather have Cobb.
Sure.
Because Hasselbeck, he's not going to be around that much longer. But short term for this year, Hasselbeck's going to have probably a better year than Kevin Cobb.
You know.
And here's the, I picked Arizona.
Even without Kenny Britt now?
He looked pretty good last week
without
him.
That's true. That's
true. I mean, granted, it was against Cleveland. But,
right.
I picked Arizona, even though I wasn't a huge Cobb fan, just because I looked at the rest of the division. St. Louis, who I know you were with.
Yeah.
It was funny, after we talked and did that podcast, mm-hmm. I went back and looked, and St. Louis's schedule. And a few people brought this up. It wasn't mm-hmm. something I just dawned on me and I decided to look at. You know, some people were like, hey, take a look at St. Louis's schedule. Because I was like, you know, Ricky liked the Rams. A lot of people like the Rams. Is there someone missing here? That's first seven games. The schedule maker did them no favors. There is a very realistic shot that they're starting 0-7. Because they've got Dallas, Green Bay, and New Orleans coming out of the bye.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, and they blew the shot. I mean, I was with you. I know we just kind of were talking about this off air. I liked them. I thought they were going to beat the Redskins this week at home.
Right.
They didn't, and that's a bad loss. This is a team that has no. You talk about no receiving core. Sam Bradford's got nothing.
Awful.
I mean, luckily it's a great draft next year for receivers. I think you know you're going to see probably a Justin Blackmon or an Alshon Jeffrey playing for St. Louis next year.
Yeah, and they're very lucky that next year there's a chance the wide receiver core could be on a par with the old class of '96. There's a lot of explosiveness in next year's wide receiver.
Yeah, Brian Broyles is very good from Oklahoma.
Yeah,
certainly.
A lot of guys like that, and St. Louis definitely needs them. Yeah, they've been horrible. I would have expected better out of them.
I will write. I mean, like I said, 0-7. You got to write a team off that's 0-7.
Even in that division, yeah. Even
the
in
schedule,
that division.
The schedule for
second
them,
place schedule
for them and Arizona
yeah.
does get significantly easier in the second half. And
by that, I'm sure you mean more games in division.
Yes. And again, just like last year, seven wins can win that division.
Yeah.
I am not necessarily a huge buyer in the last team we haven't talked about, San Francisco yet.
Right.
They really stole one against the Eagles. You know, they're not getting credit. Everyone's ripping the Eagles and saying they lost the game. San Francisco didn't win it. To me, it's amazing with this team that they could make the playoffs and they're still going to get rid. They still should get rid of their quarterback. You cannot long-term win with this Alex Smith. But
no.
My question is, we knew that they wouldn't probably be bad enough to get Andrew Luck, who's mm-hmm. going to be the obvious number one pick next April. Are they now going to be too good where they won't get a Landry Jones or a Matt Barkley?
Clearly they won't, nor the kid from Arizona either. You're not going to see any of those guys drop to the later first round. I'll tell you what, this is a thing where you go back to last year where the Bears actually hosting the NFC Championship game against the Packers. Let that roll around in your dome a little bit here. You talk about fraudulent teams, but there is a chance that San Francisco, as mediocre as they are, I agree with you, they could get a bye in the first round. In that division, Kyle? In that division?
I don't think
against those schmoes?
I don't see this team winning more than eight games. Best case scenario. I mean, they'd obviously host it by winning the division. They're going to host a first-round playoff game.
Right, right.
And right now, looking at things, because Arizona, their schedule's pretty difficult first half, too. And
right.
Then it gets, like St. Louis, like I said, it gets much easier second half. But it's interesting. San Francisco plays Tampa Bay this week. They host Tampa Bay. One of those teams will be 4-1. The other will be 3-2.
Yeah, very interesting.
You know, so, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, maybe – you know, whoever wins that game is officially the surprise team in the NFC.
I think they are. And the only reason that I would put them down possibly for going on enough of a roll and stealing one of the bye spots is because I expect the winner of the NFC South and the East, those divisions may bruise each other up. Let me save the South for a minute here because it might be the most intriguing division in football for me. Let's get to the East.
I just want to say clearly the reason the 49ers are doing what is Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Great football
coach. Yeah.
I mean, good as advertised.
Yeah. I mean, early coach of the year candidate, I think we'd have to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Following in a long line of I think, didn't Ray Rhodes win it his first year and some other guys? Now, I don't think the track record.
Mike
guys
Nolan won it 1 year.
Okay, he did.
Singletary pulled his pants down.
Yeah. I remember when they hired Mike Nolan. I remember that it was a thing where the part of the rationale was they
he wears a suit, I think, was the big reason.
A suit, yeah. Yeah.
He was going to bring back Tom Landry.
They were catering to the pandering to the local fans. His father was a legendary coach here in, I think it was like the late 60s. I remember thinking to myself, if that's your rationale, okay, I would comb the countryside to see if Bill Walsh had any illegitimate kids anywhere before I hired this schmuck and put him in there.
Yeah.
He did have at least one good year.
You talk about, though, Alex Smith. Alex Smith kind of ruined both Brian Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary. Yeah, was he? I mean, you know, he jumped up and down and said, you know, the same things and was kind of cool and never remembered him from his playing days.
Awful, coach.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
But that Alex Smith pick to me has sunk that franchise.
Yep.
Even if they win the division, you got to get rid of him. It's amazing to me if they finally do make the playoffs, it'd be the first time in like 12 years if they still get rid of the quarterback.
Yeah, could very well happen. The East, you talk about frauds. I see Washington. You and I were talking off air. I see them as being fraudulent, not buying it. Their skill position talent up and down. I don't see as being all that great.
I don't like Mike Shanahan either. I can't get over that bias.
Yeah, I can
understand
that.
Although we do probably owe him an apology. I think maybe not you and I personally, but a lot of people. Rex Grossman appears legitimately to be a better option than Donovan McNabb at this point.
Yeah, no.
Which speaks volumes. I don't think that's really a big mark in Grossman's favor.
Right.
It's more of a mark how far McNabb has fallen off the map.
Right.
But he appears to have made the right decision there.
Right. And, you know, it's been a weird situation, the way that they've been able to get over on teams thus far, like Arizona. And they just kind of, the Giants week one, I got to admit, I didn't see that one coming.
I don't like the Giants, the other team in this division, off the 3-1. So I think they're frauds, too. I mean, they kind of stole one against Arizona. Kind of, they did steal one against Arizona. You know, they caught the Eagles, I think, when the Eagles were confused and injured and, you know, just mentally not there.
Right.
So, and then the Rams game, that was about as ugly as any Monday night game you'll ever see.
That's true.
And the Redskins, their wins were, you know, St. Louis, Arizona, two wins against the West.
Right.
And the Giants, so, you know, I'm not, to me, the East, what's interesting about the East is this is the narrative moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everyone's focusing on the other two teams, Dallas and Philly, as kind of being disappointments, because those are the two teams everyone thought would kind of rule the day in this division.
Sure.
One of them is going to win this division. I said it was Philly. Most people thought it would be Philly before the year.
I still think Philly.
And it's interesting. Despite the debacle last week and the debacle in week one against the Jets, mm-hmm. where Tony Romo pretty much blew those games by himself,
yeah,
I'm actually more confident in Dallas, a team that I said would make a wild card, and you said it would be Detroit getting the last wild card. We had a debate about that from the last time I was on. I'm actually more confident in Dallas now than I was 5 weeks ago.
Okay.
To me, you talk about great skill position players.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're loaded, man.
They are.
I mean, this Dez Bryant is better than I thought he would be.
Yep.
I mean, he came in a lot of – they're doing it without
Miles
Austin.
Just don't ask about his mom's occupation.
Well, okay. All right. Okay. Okay, Jeff Ireland. All right. Yes. But, you know, they're doing it without Miles Austin.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, man, there's just something about them that, you know, hey, they've made the playoffs a couple years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And history suggests it's hard to make it three. I mean, I know the Patriots and Colts have done it, and they kind of are the exceptions to my model. But it's hard to make the playoffs 3-4 years in a row.
It is.
And I'm wondering, believe it, that if Dallas is not the team more suited to come up and win this division, while Philly maybe misses the playoffs entirely. The Vic thing, if he is not healthy all year, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, they're going to be. And it's going to be a situation where it may be hit and miss a lot of the times as far as him coming in and out of the lineup, both because of his style of play and everything that he leaves himself open to in that regard. Him whining about the refs not calling enough stuff is hugely unbecoming, and yet to me completely indicative of his character or lack thereof. But, you know, I am not a big fan of that. But I think when he's there, when he's upright, he's going to be getting a lot of offensive production. He's got the nice weapons to work with. Defensively, we're seeing that secondary, it's a situation where you don't want to throw on them, but you've sure been able to run on them an awful lot. And the whole thing about going to the three cornerbacks a lot of the times, teams are not cooperating. Teams are not saying, oh, it would not be sporting of us to, prevent you from playing three cornerbacks out there. So they've perennially got a pretty good player on the sidelines because of the way that they're lining up out there, not moving one of those three to safety.
You know what else is a problem with Philadelphia? And he's going to be the fall guy if things don't go well. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid's always been an overrated head coach.
He has been, yeah.
And an overrated father, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm kidding. But maybe I'm not.
A little bit of Big Love, yeah, that religion, huh?
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know if both of those teams. Well, I had both in the playoffs.
Okay.
Okay, before the year started. I know you only had Philly. You didn't.
Philly only, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure because I've moved Detroit, and Detroit is going to make the – I would be shocked at this point if Detroit does not make the playoffs.
Right.
That'd be bad if they didn't. You know,
right.
Starting 4-0, they're going to be 5-0, all this momentum. So I've got to knock somebody out if I'm moving Detroit in.
Right.
And I think it's going to be one of these two or Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
I think, is the other team where, like, Philly – I don't like what I've seen. Dallas, I like what I've seen. Dallas could easily be 4-0. Right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's like saying if Tony Romo hadn't been Tony Romo, they'd be 4-0. The thing is, he's going to be Tony Romo on both sides of that Sybil-like complex the rest of the way.
It was because I've never seen a team really play have two halves like they had against Detroit. They looked
It was the side of Minnesota.
Yeah, no, it was Minnesota just kind of played, you know, maybe did their game plan.
Yeah.
I mean, but I watched that game very intently, the Dallas. Dallas looked like the best team in football outside of Green Bay in that first half. I mean, Romo was chucking it all over the yard. Dez Bryant looked like Calvin Johnson the first half. They were just throwing it up, and he was making the nice catches.
Mm-hmm.
Felix Jones was having a nice day running the ball. And the second half, I remember walking, he had those two back-to-back pick sixes, obviously.
Right.
And it's just like, what is happening here? Like, what is going on? It's incredible. To me, Dallas, are they going to win the Super Bowl? No, they're not.
No.
But I think right now Dallas is actually the best team in this division.
That's interesting. Well, it's looking increasingly hard to make the case for two teams to come out of the NFC South. What a meat grinder that is. We could call that the SEC of the NFL, not least of which because of the geography, but because, again, these are teams that are going to be beating each other up through the course of the year, as they have been the last couple of years here. There's some very good teams in that division, and I got to say, I had completely underestimated Carolina coming into the year. Granted, Carolina is still not that good of a team, but the explosiveness offensively none of us saw coming. That division top to bottom is unbelievable.
Top to bottom, it's probably the best in football. If you look at NFL teams like stocks, I know, you know, that's certainly what I'm talking about. Here's the circles you're running, the people you hobnob with. Is there a team in this quartet that you wouldn't buy as a stock? New Orleans, obviously, maybe shorter term, you know, their window is not that long, but I think they're going to, you and I probably agree, they're going to win the division. They look great.
Probably at this
their
point.
Their only loss was to Green Bay,
card,
and they were competitive. I had them winning the division before the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sticking with that. Carolina, you brought up, that's interesting. I thought they would be one of the most improved teams in the league. I was one of the few that did like Cam Newton. I thought the comparisons to Jamarcus Russell, ridiculous.
Okay.
Absolutely preposterous. Jamarcus Russell did not win a Heisman Trophy.
No shared love of scissor.
No. It didn't. It did not. But Cam Newton, and I know that some people roll their eyes when you bring this up, but he looks the part. When when Cam Newton walks in a room, like Colt, look, not to pick on Colt McCoy, but Colt McCoy, he doesn't exude anything. Like,
okay.
He doesn't make you confident if you're a fan of the team when he, you know, walks in. Cam Newton, when he walks in the locker room, I guarantee you everyone on the team's like, okay, the star quarterback, shut up.
Okay.
You know, he looks the part. All right, he was the Heisman Trophy winner, oh, by the way, on a national championship team.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not Jamarcus Russell. And one of the main reasons, obviously, I thought they'd be the most improved team is they obviously had the most room to improve. There are five wins before the year. I think that's, you know, pretty good. But they're competitive is the key thing. I mean, you know, it's Cam backdoor Newton, I think, so far this year. I mean, he's backdoored, I think, you know, all three losses. He's let him into the back door for the cover, so.
I believe so. And you look in that division, and as much as people talk about the NFL and the power of the quarterback and it's the most important position, and I think clearly that's the case, when you talk about that being the best division, and you talk about quarterbacks with star power, you got Cam Newton in that division, You also got the big man, Josh Freeman. You got Drew Brees, enough said about him, and you got Matty Ice. Those four guys right there are a pretty good testament as to why that division is what it is.
Exactly. It's probably, I mean, you talk about, I mean, none of those teams, mm-hmm. you talk about stocks, back to my analogy.
Yeah.
All those teams are settled at the quarterback position.
Right.
Okay, none of those teams are making a move next April at quarterback.
Right.
Okay, I mean, Brees is the elder statesman of that group, obviously, but mm-hmm. he's got a couple good years. They're not going to push him out the door.
Sure.
Ryan's young. Freeman's young. Newton's obviously a rookie. I mean, yeah. those three teams are settled for years, and those are all long-term solutions at that position. Now,
yeah.
Tampa Bay, maybe shame on me, last year they were my big surprise pick. They lived up to the hype, didn't make the playoffs, but they were actually better than I thought. You look now, last 20 games, Ricky, this team's 13-7.
They're going to be in
Do you buy them? Because they're a little better than I expected. Atlanta seems a little worse. You mentioned it's looking increasingly likely that a second team will not come out of this division.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will. I think it's going to be between the second-place team in the South and the East that will get the wild card.
That's possible.
Because the West is obviously not going to send one, and you got to like Green Bay and Detroit in the North. So
I hear you on that.
So it's either the second-place team in the East or the South that will get it.
Do you
really buy Tampa Bay, though? Because they beat a lot of teams with a losing record last year. When that's why I wasn't as confident this year. And when you look this year, okay, they beat Atlanta. Which is obviously a big win, but they beat Indianapolis. They kind of stole one, came back against Minnesota, who has no win. So those are two, you know, winless teams they've beaten. I still don't know if I'm sold as them as a real legitimate contender.
Not only that, there's another thing here, too. I questioned coming into the year the strategy of their front office. It's one thing to say,
we want to
husband the money to lock up our guys long term, and I think I do think they're going to do that. But you do have the means to, if you're willing to do it, and your last name isn't Dolan, you do have the means to lock up the guys that you want to have and that you want to keep there and go out and get some other guys. It takes augmentation to do it. It's going to take augmentation to keep up in that division for a long time because, again, even old Benson down in New Orleans has shown that he's willing to spend what need be. Arthur Blank, enough said about that guy. Jerry Richardson, that may or may not be the case over a period of time. I think we've seen.
You've had him over for dinner once or twice, haven't you?
Yeah, good old Jerry. Me and him go way back. But it's going to take Tampa Bay showing some commitment. And that's what I question, Kyle. Do they have enough on the roster?
I think they actually do. Now, it's interesting you bring up, if their goal is, okay, we're going to save this money because these guys are all young and they're going to command more money in the marketplace down the road.
Right.
And if they do, or they're just saving it to re-sign, that's fine because they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball.
Right.
I mean, they were going over it in the Monday night game. You know, I think that was a lot of people's first real look at this team.
Right.
This is a team that, you know, I think a lot of, you know, I hate this term, casual NFL fans, you know, looked at last year, what, Tampa Bay 10-6?
Right.
When did this happen? I didn't watch this team once this year. But they've got a lot of talent. Josh Freeman, a lot of people question him. He's the real deal, man. I mean, he's got how many second half comebacks already? Like half of his wins are fourth quarter comebacks.
All the physical tools in the world, and he's really got it going on. That's what makes them really just so tough to keep up with. It's you know, let's make it a tale of two Souths here. Could there be a better division than the NFC South, and then the AFC South, as we go to the other side here, particularly with what happened to Peyton Manning, what a big contrast that ends up being right now there, because you've got Houston as the de facto favorite the way that they started the season here. Tennessee, as we mentioned briefly previously, and we'll talk a little bit more about kind of coming up on them there, but Indy and Jacksonville, just the dregs. And if Tennessee is overrated a little bit right now, as you and I think, overvalued, whatever the case may be, then this division is making a case to be down there with the AFC West, maybe as the worst.
The NFC West.
NFC West, the AFC West is pretty bad too. But yeah, NFC West is the worst. You're right about that.
You know, it's funny, when we did the podcast, Manning, we knew he was hurt, but no one really knew. I think that at that point, if I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, they still had not ruled him out for Week 1.
Oh no, they
okay.
Hadn't.
And when that happened, I kind of had the sense, that sixth sense, that like, okay, I think this is bad. I don't think he's coming
right.
back. And at this point, he's not going to play this
right.
year. I mean, why would you bring him back on a team that's like 1-11?
We were getting some hints that first week. As I recall, the very eccentric Jim Irsay was tweeting lyrics from Springsteen's Nebraska album, I think, to some of their chances. So that was a little bit of a tip-off at that point.
Yeah, but you're right. Indy and Jacksonville, I think, are the two worst teams in the league right now.
They might be,
And with Indy, I think it's so intriguing to compare them to the 97 Spurs in the NBA.
Hmm.
Because it's so interesting to me. If they, because they could be, if they do wind up with the worst record, let me get the toilet paper out of my mouth there. If they do wind up with the worst record, do they draft Andrew Luck, sit him down for a year, have Manning mentor him? You know, they could. It'd be a great thing. My God, he's passing the torch. Because Jacksonville won't take him, would they? Because they just drafted Gabbert, who I don't really believe in. I'll tell you what, I've seen parts, bits and pieces of these first four Jaguars games.
Yeah.
They're awful. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was watching all the games. We were watching all of them, me and a couple buddies, last week. And my one buddy, you can tell he's the guy who has Maurice Jones-Drew on his fantasy team because he's actually paying attention to a Jaguars game. He just kept randomly yelling, my God, the Jaguars stink.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I watch them, they go 3-and-out. They never have the ball, it seems. I mean, they beat Tennessee, by the way, this Tennessee team that everyone is kind of jumping on. And it's funny. Houston, when the – so getting back, bring this full circle. After the podcast, I felt even more confident about Houston. I thought, honestly, that this, other than them, every other team would lose 10 games.
Yeah.
Now, somebody kind of had to get better because I don't think we really truly realized how bad the Colts would be.
Right.
And the Jaguars, remember, they cut Garrard right before the season, which was pretty stupid. Jack Del Rio and another coach that we haven't talked, John Fox, I think both totally mishandled their quarterback situations. And if they were in the reverse spots, they would have been okay. Del Rio's a guy who's been there for a while, and he needs probably to have a decent season to salvage his job. It's not going to happen. This is his swan song, I think. He's the kind of guy who, if he had Denver's quarterback situation, I could see him going, he needed to like do what Fox did. Take Kyle Orton, the guy who can, okay, he's not going to lead you anywhere great, but he can get you 7 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Fox, I think, should have done kind of what Del Rio did and go with the youth, and he should have gone with because he's a first year guy. He can take his lumps. So Tebow stinks, and they go 4-12. Oh well, he's a first year coach. You got security.
Having said that, though, was not Del Rio playing the hand he was dealt. Speaking of cheap North Florida front offices here,
why forget is about the team Tampa in Jacksonville, by the way.
Why
was a team put Jacksonville?
Bad gimmick by the NFL. And you know when they're playing at Farmers Field down there in SoCal in front of 50,000 disinterested fake tanned people half a decade from now, we'll be seeing that a little bit more clearly. But to me, it was the front office. Didn't the front office whack Gerard in a money-saving move, I thought?
He had to sign off on it, though. I thought he signed off on it.
I mean, if you're coaching for your job and they want you to, I mean, yeah, that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
True. But the bottom line is this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either of those teams wins more than 4 games.
I don't think so either.
The Colts, I don't see them winning more than 3.
Are not the Colts showing, though, with showing a pulse over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, but you know what? Is anything more indicative of a bad team, a really bad team, when you say, oh, well, they've been competitive? You know, I mean, it's a league where you got to win, okay? Well, when the nicest thing you can say about a team is, hey, they've been competitive the last 2 weeks, you stink.
I'm just saying that the first step to stealing a couple games is being competitive, although, again, you did say they could be about 4 wins. By definition, I think they would be stealing probably just about all 4. So,
sure.
You know, maybe that's what we're looking at here. They've been horrible. Tennessee, we talked a little bit about them. They seem to me, again, to be kind of fraudulent.
Look at the teams they've beaten. First of all, everyone wants to slobber over the win over Baltimore.
Right.
Good win, but it was a classic letdown spot for the Ravens off the win over the Steelers.
Sure.
And what did Tennessee do in week one? They lost this Jacksonville team that we just spent 5 minutes railing against.
Unforgivable.
Yeah. And their other 2 wins are against Cleveland, who's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver, who was kind of neck and neck with them. And if not for some iffy coaching decisions by Broncos coach John Fox, they could have lost that game. So you know, this whole idea, this notion, Matt Hasselbeck, we've never seen him play better. Really, he was the quarterback on a team that went to the Super Bowl. And this is not a Super Bowl team. But Tennessee, I guess.
Statistically, he's never been better. He wasn't even that good statistically in Seattle.
Yeah, but to me, Tennessee is the product of, okay, well, somebody de facto has got to kind of rise up in this division with the decline of Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Houston, I thought they could really run away with this thing. I feel so bad for them with Andre Johnson getting hurt.
Yeah.
But, you know, kudos to them. They beat Pittsburgh in a game that that the old Texans, I know they're not an old franchise, but, you know, the Texans the last couple of years probably would have lost that game.
Yeah. We got, ultimately, The Houston Texans, who have been sort of the cream of the crop de facto here, have talked about Tennessee being a little bit kind of fraudulent as far as what people are looking at with them right now. With the way that Houston is kind of rated here at this point, you know, you mentioned about Andre Johnson being down for whatever period of time. They've shown that while they don't have demonstrable depth in the wide receiver core, they do at running back. The defense is better than it was with Bum's son coaching there. So ultimately, Houston is a team where they could be a threat to maybe even win a playoff game if they get there at this rate.
True. I still believe they'll win this division like I thought before the season. I even went so far with when Manning first went down, I'm like, this team could get a bye because I thought they would run away with the division. You know, so I think that you're probably going, the Patriots probably get one of the two byes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other team I think will either be San Diego or Houston simply because I think one of those two can run away with their division and really
could
clean
be Baltimore.
Up. True. They do look good. They do. But I wouldn't be surprised. That's the way I felt that it would be the East winner, who I know we argued about before the year, and you certainly look like you're winning that argument right now. But and then either San Diego or Houston, simply because I thought one of them would be able to just run away with their division. I still think both will.
Well, as far as bad divisions, let's inch our way up from the South here to the AFC West, which is at the bottom end, about as bad as they come here. Kansas City, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, if Jamal Charles hadn't gone down, bullpucky, because they were an awful, awful team. You look at week one, that complete ass-whipping by the Lions that they ended up taking on here.
No, that was the Bills, who also whooped
them. Oh, the Bills. That's right.
They got
the Bills were week one. Yeah.
And then the Lions were week two. But they were both ass-whippings.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Yeah, they were. It was pretty bad. I mean, you know, the Chiefs, the Broncos, the ass end of that division is as bad as many other of the ones out there with those two teams.
True. Now, here's the thing. I think a lot of people overreacted to how bad the Chiefs looked the first 2 weeks. Keep in mind, Buffalo and Detroit are both better than a lot of people thought they would be.
That's true.
But, you know, I had them going into last because the worst team in the league. That was a little bit of an overreaction because, keep in mind, they were competitive against San Diego. They beat Minnesota last week. Now, am I saying this is a good team that is going to rally and finish close to 500? No. Okay, I think it's a 4 or 5 win team overall. But the injuries have hurt them. Castle's not 100%. I think Todd Haley stinks.
Well, not only
I don't think he's good. Now, they were a fraudulent division winner, to your point, so everyone knew they were going to take a step back this year.
You said there were people saying to you, don't sleep on the Chiefs. They won the division.
Yeah, some people told me that. I was shocked by that because, they ran the ball well. But, you know, now even those people would be like, okay, they lost Charles. They're
right.
Done. But Denver is, they're obviously real bad, too. I'm sorry. I know that, like, Skip Bayless and I are the only two people who believe this in the world. But Tim Tebow should start for that team. Kyle Orton, it's exactly what I said. This team is... This guy's, he went, 2-11 as a starter last year?
Yeah.
Now they're 1-3? Okay, you didn't need to take any math classes down at OU, Ricky, to realize that that's 3-14, okay? I mean, he, like I said, if I'm in Jack Del Rio's situation, I would go with him where I need a guy, show some progress, we need 7 wins this year. Orton can get you 7 wins.
Of that 3-11, how much of it's because they didn't score enough points, though?
Yeah, but see, and you know this, I think, better than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Orton is a byproduct, I think, of his, at least his, the people who support him, of fantasy stuff, because they're always losing so bad, they're always throwing.
That's
especially
true.
With McDaniel. You know,
saying the numbers are padded?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think their offense is, their defense is obviously hideous.
Okay.
I'm not making, they're going to lose, you're right, if Tebow wasn't there, this team is not winning the AFC.
And now
West.
The defense is in transition with a different system. It just makes
it
worse.
It's like, it's the same thing when the Browns had Brady Quinn, who, interestingly, is also on Denver. If you're going to spend the first, I don't care if it's a previous regime. I don't care what excuse
you agree with that.
If you're going to spend a first-round draft choice on a quarterback, you have to play him. Don't care. I don't care what else you want to say. I don't care who Derek Anderson led us to 10 wins. Okay, you didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Okay? Derek Anderson stinks. He's the third-string quarterback in Carolina now.
Right.
Kyle Orton... In a couple of years, no one's going to remember this man.
Well,
no one's going to – the Kyle Orton era in Denver, I don't think this is exactly shades of John Elway in 1988.
Okay? No, it's not even the Brian Greasy era in Denver. But I'll tell you
Watch
what.
Out for that dog, by the way.
I'll tell you what, too. It's a thing where with Derek Anderson, side note on that, for as much as I hate intellectual dishonesty, just because 12 guys in front of him on the depth chart got the bubonic plague and he ends up in the Pro Bowls and all sorts of. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
I hate what people say. Oh my he's God, a Pro Bowl quarterback. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The bubonic plague. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, anytime, unless if you were truly voted in by the peers and the fans, then you're not a real Pro Bowler.
How many guys ahead of him went down to enable him to go to Hawaii?
Yeah, I know, really. I
that mean, was the worst thing ever.
That's a great point. You agree. Again, red and blue agree. I'm like, look at him. But, you know, it's interesting. Oakland is a team that I think, similar to Tennessee, you talk about the hipster team. You know,
oh,
there was like a
the
joke about
the
hipster,
Raiders.
About hipster
yeah.
teams.
Yeah.
Tennessee, I think, it, you know, because to me, before the year, let's just take a step back from all this. Before the year started, I was very confident, if you remember, in my six playoff choices in the AFC. Patriots, Jets, Ravens, Steelers, Texans, Chargers. To me, that's a very majority six picks there. I think most people had those six teams, especially when Manning went hurt.
Right.
You know, because Indianapolis, Houston, that was kind of the one debate. But everyone loved the two out of the East, the two out of the North. Everyone expected San Diego to come back and take control of the West.
Right.
So there was such a divide, I thought, between those six and the rest of the conference. So you just had the feeling, who's going to be the teams to step up and kind of fill that void? Because it's that you weren't going to have six really good teams and, you know, 10 terrible teams.
Right.
So there had to be, I know you don't like this, there had to be a middle class, okay? All right, there had to be some sort of middle class. And you're seeing that with Tennessee in the South, Oakland in the West, and then Buffalo, obviously, in the East. The North, I'm not so sure yet about Cleveland or Cincinnati, if one of those teams is truly for real. But Oakland, I'll be honest, I'm surprised. I thought they'd be bad. I thought they'd be real bad. I thought last year's 8-8 finish was real fraudulent. They went 6-0 in the division. And that's very tough to do from year to year. But they shocked me when they went into Denver in week one. Honestly, I loved Denver in that spot.
I didn't just because I have no respect for where Denver's at right now.
Yeah, I thought they were a lot closer. I thought those teams were very close and the home field advantage would be the difference. But Oakland surprised me. They were competitive in Buffalo. They probably should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, New England, I mean, no one's going to blame them for losing that game. So I just don't buy it. Jason Campbell is your quarterback. It's, like you said earlier, it's a quarterback-driven league. I can't buy a team with Jason Campbell at quarterback. Although the Raiders seem to be the one team, and again, as a fantasy guy, you know that there's no real true feature back anymore.
I mean,
you know, people talk about Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson. They're kind of disappointing. They're getting to be the north side of 30. Darren McFadden may be that guy, that the exception to the rule, like, okay, hey, we're going to build our offense around a running back.
He may
imagine that.
And here's the irony of it, that this is a team that's built to be thunder and lightning. Because Michael Bush is damn sure good enough to play more than he does.
Yes. Oh, I agree. So, I mean, hey, I mean, maybe they can do it the old school. I'm shocked. I don't buy them long term. San Diego's going to. You talk about a team that will run away with it. Now,
yeah.
That said, I don't think San Diego's been as impressive. Now, I always buy into the San Diego hype. I'm guilty of it as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the fact that I just wish they would get rid of Norv Turner.
Right.
Because they're not going to win championships as the coach.
Right.
But when you look at who they've beaten and how they've done it, it hasn't been that impressive. People are like, oh, they were competitive with New England. They still lost by two touchdowns. Their three wins, Miami stinks.
Right.
Minnesota had to come from behind, and the Vikings stink.
Right.
And Kansas City, who they only beat by three. So they have not been that impressive. They have not scored. Phillip Rivers has kind of been a little bit of a disappointment. I think fantasy owners would attest to that.
He has been, but having said that, just the fact that San Diego is winning games right now.
True. I mean, yeah.
You can't sleep on that because theoretically, this is a team that has always spent the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season not merely with one arm tied behind their back, but also with their frank and beans shoved back into their body. All right? And they're not going to have that handicap to overcome this year.
Yeah, like Houston.
Yeah.
They've won some games where maybe they would have lost in previous years.
Just because they were in September.
Exactly. I mean, hey, San Diego, they come out. What did I say when we did the podcast? There's no way their special teams can be as bad as it was last year.
Right.
First play of the year, they gave up a kick return to Minnesota. And
that's
I'm like,
true.
You got to be kidding me. But, hey, they won the game. Maybe last year they lose that game.
Right, right. And I let me tell you something. As a guy who had Minnesota week one in his Deadpool, if you don't think I was sweating all the way through that game – yeah, I was sweating like a death row prisoner in Georgia when that thing was
done.
Very deserving execution, but that's another story for another day. But San Diego, I just thought was
an oxymoron, just so you're aware.
Yeah, they're the team to beat clearly in that division. And like you said, a team with a really good chance.
And they will win that division. There's no team that I think you can be more confident in to win its division than San Diego.
They will win it and a great chance at getting a bye. I had mentioned Baltimore as having a great chance at getting a bye. Increasingly, It looks like it's Baltimore and then everybody else in the NFC or the AFC North here. I'm not writing off the Steelers as much as a lifelong Steeler hater as much as I would like to, but it is a thing where you do have to look at that defense. It is getting a little older in places, but every time somebody, oh, they're getting older, they're a bunch of graybeards. Really? Tell it to Lamar Woodley. I mean, they've gotten some guys, they've gotten some infusions over a period of time here, but by the same token, their secondary blows, and it has for some time. I mean, minus Polamalu, you know what I mean, the cornerbacks.
No. I agree with you. That's a great point. He masks how bad that's. Polamalu, he does a lot of these wacky things. You know, he's
right.
Got that crazy hair and
right.
His commercials, and he jumps over the line, and he makes these awesome plays.
Right.
But he really covers up. That secondary is awful at covering people. He's not great
he's
covering
not a cover
people man-to-man.
Exactly. He's the guy who runs up and hits people.
Yeah, he's a wacky, oh, look at this Samoan Savage. You know, I mean.
Stevie Offie.
Yes, exactly. You know, but, and their offensive line. To me, here's the thing.
Yeah, it's deteriorating.
In the NFL, you can win if you have one weak spot. There's no perfect teams anymore.
Right.
You can win if you're deficient in one area. Every team has its weak point.
Right.
But if you're very weak, like Pittsburgh is in two areas,
mm-hmm.
secondary and offensive line,
yep.
you're going to have trouble. Look, you and I both said they were kind of a minority when we said they would not win as many games as last year. I know
right.
they had an easy schedule, but you know I went through that history, you know, with all those numbers about previous year's Super Bowl loser. They never have a better record usually than the previous year.
Right.
Many times they don't even make the playoffs.
Right.
Okay? And their two wins this year were against Seattle and Indianapolis, and the Colts win was not convincing.
No. I thought it would be a lot more convincing than it was.
And they looked pretty bad in the two losses, particularly the one to Baltimore in week one. So I don't know if this team makes the playoffs. It's going to be close. I think Pittsburgh and then the Jets are the two disappointing teams. I could see maybe one of those two. Remember I talked about, oh, there's no way that these six teams don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of those two do slip. And it's interesting that people criticize the Steelers' defense for, oh, they're so old. Don't people say the same thing about the Ravens, too?
Yeah.
What do you always hear about the Ravens? It's two things. Oh, Flacco, I'm not sold on him.
Yeah.
And, oh, this defense is so old. People forget how good Baltimore was last year. Like I said, they had five losses, including
right.
playoffs. Ravens, Steelers twice, Falcons on the road.
Right.
And then Cincinnati in what was, again, a week two letdown game.
Right.
After, you know, they had beaten the Jets the week previous on a Monday night. Same thing happened this year. They lost to Tennessee after the big win over Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
which they came in hyped for. So this is a team who has only six losses the last 2 years. And that defense, yeah, it's older, but just two Hall of Famers,
mm-hmm.
and they also have kind of replenished. You know, you got guys like Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata. I mean, you've got some young players there that have picked up the slack. And Flacco, am I sold on him? No, but I don't think he needs to be Tom Brady for that team to go far.
No.
As a matter of fact, I know he doesn't.
No. You could easily craft a Brad Johnson scenario for this guy where they could win a Super Bowl with him there. Having said that, you mentioned about Suggs and Ngata for Baltimore, and I mentioned Woodley for Pittsburgh. Both teams are a mixed bag in terms of some younger guys defensively, and then there's some graybeards. Right? Like you said, everybody is hating on Pittsburgh for the age on defense. Baltimore, hello, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, two of your cornerstone players right there. So it's not an easy, simple picture for either team, Kyle. It's a mixed bag of graybeards and younger guys on both teams.
That's why I wasn't sold. That's why I thought before you said that either San Diego or Houston would get that second night because
mm-hmm.
I don't – Baltimore, yeah, they've looked great. I think mm-hmm. they're a top four or five team right now in
mm-hmm.
the power rankings. I do have them top five. Based on a couple big wins, you know, they looked pretty, the defense was very impressive last Sunday against the Jets, and
right.
the Pittsburgh win was obviously impressive. But, you know, overall, I'm not convinced that either of these teams are going to be, you know, can win the Super Bowl. I don't.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think either of them is on a tier with that. And I'll tell you what, again, as somebody who hates the Steelers, I just say thank God on this one because it was a close call. It was closer than it should have been because I think we can see now Green Bay and Pittsburgh were ships crossing in the night when they played that Super Bowl there. Mike McCarthy, I was terrified he would blow it because to beat Pittsburgh, you got to spread them out. But then you get cowed by the whole time of possession thing. Mike McCarthy almost blew the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know what? By doing it, and winning the game. I think a lot of, you know, this just did, a lot of people watch the Super Bowl, okay? Right. And some of them are NFL coaches.
Yeah.
He provided the blueprint how to beat the Steelers. If you spread them out and make them cover man-to-man, you can beat them.
Right.
So if you have the personnel to do that, not every team does. Like we said, Green Bay's got the best receiving corps in the league. So.
Sure.
But, you know, if you've got a plethora of receivers, you can get the ball out quick.
Right.
You can beat this team.
Well, and how scary would it be if they made the playoffs and had to play New England, and Belichick pretty much pones them to begin with, and Belichick's also got the ability to spread out the field on them. So.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, Pittsburgh, to me, if they did make the playoffs, I don't see them winning a game in the playoffs.
No, I don't.
Baltimore, I could see them winning one. Baltimore, I think definitely, I mean, obviously because they waxed them in week one.
Right.
But everyone, Baltimore's definitely ahead of Pittsburgh at this game. The other two teams now in the division, Ohio, we live in Ohio.
Yes.
Let's talk about them.
Not a pretty picture.
No, and I think we differ on Cleveland, though. I am obviously forced to watch this team because I live in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay, I am not a Browns fan, in full disclosure. You know that.
I am.
Okay. I think they are honestly one of the worst seven teams in the league, despite being 2-2.
That's
there is no team with a record of 500 or better that is worse than the Browns.
I'm going to still say 7 wins just because the schedule's so
putrid. Agree. No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
But you know what? They could finish 7-9, and I'm still not going to have them that high. Just because your record's good doesn't... Just because a 7-9 team is not necessarily better than a 6-10 team. You know that, Rick.
We go back to this again last year. The Bears hosted the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, you look at the Browns, okay? Their 2 wins were against Miami and Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Bottom 3 teams. Okay?
Yeah.
2 of the bottom 3. They've lost to Cincinnati and Tennessee, who, are surprising teams, but are not, to me, playoff teams. So the Browns easily, if Browns fans truly were to be excited at this time, that team should be 3-1. If they really want, you know, realistically, they should be 3. They looked awful against it. Colt McCoy, it's interesting when you watch a lot of these games at the same time. And granted, it's not fair to compare him to Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers by any means. That's, that's not nice to do. It's not favorable. But they always get the ball so quick. It always seems that, you know, that they don't have a lot of dirt on their jersey. McCoy, it seems every play is running for his life.
But you know what, though? But here's the problem, though. I mean, Colt McCoy, where my heart just goes out to him, he has the functional equivalent of Kyle Ross and Rick Morris to throw to at wide receiver. I mean, it
how
is
dumb,
a putrid.
How dumb is the decision when they could have drafted? And granted, Julio Jones.
I wanted Julio Jones
granted,
so badly.
Granted, Julio Jones does not, you know, is not going to win Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's having a great year.
Or sign Lee Evans or do something.
Yeah, but that is the worst receiving core in the league.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, it's really bad. To be honest, it's even a little worse than St. Louis. You feel it for Sam Bradford. The Browns are a team.
There's no Danny Areola on this receiving core.
Yeah, they probably draft. I mean, the Browns have to draft a receiver.
Have to.
The trading down thing just
again.
Looks so
thank
bad.
God this draft class next
they could
year
probably,
is going to be
I mean,
great.
They're not going to be finished so high that they can't get maybe Ryan Broyles.
Yeah,
Justin Blackmon and Jeffrey from South Carolina. Those are going to be very high picks.
Right.
And could conceivably both be off the board. Depending, I mean, I agree. The Browns probably could finish with 7 wins.
Could be Pretty Boy Floyd from Notre Dame, maybe.
Yeah, but they have to address that position. It's awful. I mean, Ben Watson in the year 2011 cannot be your best pass catcher.
Yeah.
I mean, he just can't. So, and the Bengals, you know, most people thought this team was going to be the worst team in the league. I did not. Again, history suggests when you fall from 10 to 4 wins 1 year, your win total will bounce back up.
I thought they'd be putrid. I didn't see how the skill position stuff on offense would
kill
them. I
picked them for 5 wins. People thought I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They might actually win it with more than that.
They might.
Because, look, here's the worst-kept secret in the league. Carson Palmer was terrible. This team would not be better with Carson Palmer.
Well, the way Dalton's played, I'd be hard-pressed to disagree with that.
Even if he wasn't playing that well, people were, like, focusing on that, and that's where I thought that most people were kind of writing him off. Oh, because Palmer retired, that's so bad. It did look bad. I mean, their ownership has obviously been plagued by its fair share of issues.
It was also that Ocho left, and as great as A.J. Green is, he's a rookie.
Yeah, but he wasn't good either. Ocho Cinco. Terrell Owens wasn't that good. They got rid of 3 players who, yes, are big names, but they weren't any good. This was a four. They got rid of 3 of their quote-unquote top offensive names from last year.
Right.
A team that was 4-12.
But Dalton Green are rookies. I mean, I know they're doing it and they're proving me wrong, but I if it's possible to say retroactively I was still right, then I'm going to say that because that's the way I looked on paper.
Honestly, I thought they were upgrades over what they had.
Wow.
I thought they were upgrades. You can't tell. I mean, Terrell Owens isn't even in the league anymore. Ocho Cinco might not even... Palmer's
Owens
not in the
is also recovering from major knee surgery.
True,
so.
And I don't hate him as much as others do. Okay, true.
I do, but
I mean, effectively, all three of those guys are out of football.
Right.
I mean, Ochoa has done nothing.
Right.
And he's done nothing. And Palmer, here's the thing about Palmer, going back to what I said, worst kept secret, that he stinks.
Right.
Don't you think that if he was good and brought anything to the table, some team would be begging Cincinnati to do a sign and trade, a Seattle, you know, coach him up, Pete, get his former boy? No one is doing that.
Now, Pete's in the suck for luck game
right now. No one is doing that, though, Rick.
Right.
I mean, to me, do the Browns still finish ahead of Cincinnati?
I don't really have any doubt about that still at this point. No.
Okay. I think keep my Cincinnati did beat them in Cleveland week one.
Yeah,
to tell you.
Again,
to me, Cincinnati's looked better. Cincinnati on a neutral field is a better team than Cleveland right now.
They didn't look real good against Denver, and Denver pretty much blows. So
true, but that was a road game week after. They only lost by two.
Yeah,
I mean, to me,
true.
I mean, neither of them are going anywhere. Neither of them are playoff teams.
Right.
Neither of them are playoff. I think that in the hipster, once again, that middle class, like we're jokingly calling obviously, I don't think these teams are lower middle class, if they're even middle class. They're not at the Baltimore, Oakland, Tennessee level.
Right, right. Yeah.
Buffalo, not Baltimore. Got my B's confused.
Exactly, yeah. Essentially, in that parlance, they would be the guys who moved from Hinckley and bought the house catty corner to my parents, if you're talking about a lower economic socioeconomic stature. So there's that for the Bengals. But in the East, again, everything is shaping out at the top of the division anyways. I think more or less what we thought, with the exception of Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo riding as high as they have. But the Patriots coming in, you and I think, knew that that was going to be the case.
Well, I thought the Jets were going to. To me, the story is the Jets. Look, what's interesting is it looks like the Jets are going to start 2-3. I picked the season in the AFC before the year started. I thought they would be 3-2 and then finish 12-4. The schedule does get easier. And they're just doing look, I like Mark Sanchez more than most people do.
Right.
But they're putting him in bad spots. They're having him pass way too many times. The running game is non-existent.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see them at New England because they have stolen games like this. Just they beat New England 2 or 3 times last year.
Right.
So, obviously, they had the one awful loss on Monday night. But it'll be interesting to see. Now, Buffalo, it was funny. Before the year, we joked that this was I called this the Rick Morris division, jokingly, because you had the two haves and two have-nots. Little social programs, perhaps, for the Buffalo Bills, huh? I'm sure Obamacare is to blame somehow in your mind, right?
I'm sure it probably is. Meanwhile, by the way, with the Jets here, if we're going to make analogies, it looks like Plexico Burress left his legs right next to Mike Tyson's iron jaw still in the can because the way that he's come out of the chute here. But Buffalo, Buffalo, again, Ryan Fitzpatrick proving me wrong. Offensively, they really have been a juggernaut here, and I think they can probably sustain a lot of the offensive progress. I just don't think, again, top to bottom, they're that great. I think it was proved this past week in Cincinnati. Again, I've been saying that I think Buffalo's a little bit of a hollow giant, and yet I didn't think they'd go into Cincinnati and gag on it like they did here. So that can't be a good sign for them.
Well, it was a classic letdown spot in the NFL.
It was.
It was a road, you on the road, you know, the week after a big win.
Part of it is, though, that again,
you're favored.
I have so little respect for Cincinnati that I think
I think you're wrong there. I think that's part of the problem.
I couldn't be.
I think that's part of Yeah, Buffalo, do you buy them as a playoff team?
No. Because a couple of years ago, what were they, like 5-3 or whatever?
I think they started 4-0. It was kind of funny because when they started 2-0, I looked back, I was like, what's this? The Bills were 2-0. And it only happened one other time in the last 10 years, and they were actually 4-0 in 08.
Out of my friends, all the sample size chodes are coming up to me now. Like, oh, do you believe in Buffalo now? Well, gee, it's the end of September. So, yeah, I guess I have no choice but to believe in the Buffalo Bills.
Like I said, I think one of these teams, I think a team that you didn't think was going to make the playoffs before the year could.
To me, it'd be Tennessee before them. No
question. Yeah, just because that division.
And before Oakland also.
It's either Buffalo. The problem with Buffalo is they're in the same division with the Jets and the Patriots. The Jets are going to turn it around. The Patriots are the Patriots.
Right.
They'll probably win the division. You know, the only other thing is you got Miami, who is awful.
Right.
By the way, before we started doing this podcast, rumor has it Henny might be lost for the year.
Yeah.
This team, you talk about suck for luck. Andrew Luck may be taking his talents to South Beach.
I'm also a Dolphins fan, so that would be bad.
Yeah. Andrew Luck may be taking his talents to South Beach. Because this is a bad football team.
No.
You know, it's funny, everyone.
Pathetic.
Yeah, everyone that first week, remember they were competitive with New England on Monday night. That was more of a product of the Patriots defense kind of stinking.
Yeah.
Not being very good.
It was.
Then, because they just, they lost to the Browns.
It was, yeah.
Even though they should have won that game, actually.
They should have.
They heavily outgained Cleveland in the first half. And it was one of those games when you're watching it, you're like, Miami should be up by more.
Right.
They're probably going to gag.
Right.
So their problem is that idiot owner, Stephen Ross, he wanted to fire Sperano
in
the offseason. He didn't do it, and that's why I hated this team so much. They have a lame duck coach, and they signed Reggie Bush, which was a hit. Reggie Bush, he's gone from overrated to just being a bad player.
But Daniel Thomas, though, is going to be a very good player to build on.
The hipster running back, I believe. not a lot of people know Daniel. He is very good. I mean, Reggie Bush is even the best running back in the Miami Dolphins.
No, that's true. That's true. And by the way, I want to see, before he gets whacked, at least one game where Tony Sperano comes out and coaches in shades but wears a suit. Because I'm telling you, if ever anybody was separated at birth from Andy Kaufman's Tony Clifton character, I just want to see him embrace it for one game, Kyle Ross.
Yes, well, there's not many more opportunities to do it, because I looked at the team's schedule coming out of a bye.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, Indianapolis plays Kansas City this week. They've got a shot to win, and they're going to play Jacksonville twice.
Right.
Miami, I think, is going to be one of the last teams to win a game. I think this – Andrew Luck is either going to play, I believe, in Miami or Indianapolis.
Who knew that Miami's season would parallel that of the declining marriage of two of their minority co-owners, J-Lo and Mark Anthony? Who knew that would be the analogy for the season, Kyle?
Yes. Who knew? All I know is this team, you talk about a team guaranteed to finish in last place.
Yeah. Horrible.
Is there any team that you're more confident will finish in last place than Miami in its division? Because in all the other divisions, you've got kind of like the two bottom teams are kind of interchangeable. Carolina, I suppose, the NFC South.
Just because the rest of the division is so great.
Yeah, but Miami,
I'm still pretty doggone sure Seattle's going to finish below St. Louis, regardless of where they're at now.
Like I said, if St. Louis is off to an 0-7 start, you got to consider it.
It could be.
You're right. But to me, logically looking at things, I mean, the other three teams are just much better.
Right. Well, big picture for the AFC here, though. For as much as people are dogging on right now, and I think prematurely burying the Steelers and the Jets, what it comes down to, what I always tell people is, well, which is it? Because, again, there are only so many teams that are going to be able to make the playoffs. It's a zero-sum game. I don't see both of them missing the playoffs.
No, I don't.
I don't either. So, I mean, people cannot, in one breath, dog the chances of one and dog the chances of the other, because, you know, it's a zero-sum game here. I mean, not to get, you know, into, you know, Austrian economics like the great Glenn Jacobs here, but it is a thing where it does... You do have to look at it in that sense here, that what's bad for one team is good for the other team. So if one of those two really continues to decline, it's going to accrue to the benefit of the other team, unless you're that sure that, say, Tennessee is going to reach up and steal one or something like that. The list of teams that can make the playoffs is short.
That's what I said. That was my whole point. I was so confident in the six I picked.
Yeah.
I'm not wavering off of it.
Yeah.
Like I said, if one, you're right. Both of them are not missing.
Right.
Buffalo or Tennessee. Tennessee, if they steal it, would probably take the division because this Andre Johnson thing maybe becomes a big issue.
Right.
But I don't know if Houston would then still get a walk, but you're right. But one of the two is going to make it. I still think both make it.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh, to me, kind of irrelevant as far as a Super Bowl discussion is concerned. I still think the Jets, if they get rolling, could really factor it, could, you know, be one of the last teams playing again.
That's very possible based on the foundation of the last couple of years. And for Houston, the Andre Johnson thing is huge because they do have a guy with a lot of physical gifts out there in Jacoby Jones. Problem is, hands like January Jones, and that's where it ends up being a real problem.
That was
for
very
them.
Good. She didn't have that hand issue, remember?
Thank you.
That's very good.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to come up with that one?
Well, actually, I've used it previously.
Okay, very good, Cuban B. Are you coming off your pick, Green Bay, New England, Super Bowl?
I am not. I'm saying Green Bay over New England in the Super Bowl. How about you?
I said Green Bay over the Jets. I am more inclined right now to go to your side and say Green Bay over New England, although I don't buy the Patriots. Their defense stinks.
Yeah, well... The Packers have had some issues defensively, too. That could be a 51-45 Super Bowl if it comes about.
I wouldn't be surprised no matter who plays in the Super Bowl with 51-45.
In this kind of a year, and I guess to bring it full circle, that's where it goes, that this has been a year of historic offense coming off of the lockout here. The offenses have been way ahead of the defenses.